So let's come to the next talk, which is mine. And the title of this talk, I like it very much. It's about implementing Star TLS. And I like the title very much because it's a bit ambiguous. Because on one hand, if who was last year here also at the Modern Email Dev Room? Oh, okay, I will try. Okay, so last year I invited a colleague from mine and asked him if he can do a talk on Star TLS and tell the audience how bad it is. And this year it's kind of funny that I did a talk to tell you how to implement it, but there is a catch. And to wake myself up a bit, who knows what Star TLS is? Can they raise the hand? Okay. Now can you keep the hand up, and everyone who doesn't implement it, put the hand down. So only the ones who implemented it, keep it up. Okay, and from this person, like, who thought they like it or want it, and or did you feel that you needed to implement it? Like, if so, only keep your hand up if you felt like it's a great protocol. I will. Okay, one. Okay, no, I mean, if you are required to do it, then it doesn't count. So only if you think it's a good thing to do. And okay. Yes. XMPP talking, okay, maybe, or something else, yes. Yes, I will come to that, yes. So, okay, so, and from those people who implemented it, you can come to me after the talk and tell me if you did like I tell you to do, or what I propose, not tell, but I have a proposal, so you can tell me if you like it or if you did it differently. So the catch is, I want to avoid most of Star TLS, not fully, because there are some providers like Microsoft, for example, and for submission they only have Star TLS. So you, yeah, but you have to do it. So there will come a time in your life that some user of your library is asking you desperately to support Star TLS, and you can ask, like, why do you need it? Do you really need it? Ask your provider, please, to do something better. But in the end, it's a fight that you may lose because some people are just bigger than you, and then you are in a position that you need to implement it. So let's try to do it. But a short recap, like, when we think about Star TLS, when we look into the standards, it looks super simple, right? So I will do it with IMAP because this is the protocol where it's in general most complicated to do, so I will use this. But when you connect to an IMAP server, the first thing that happens is that the server sends you its greeting. And in this case, the server is very nice to you, and it tells you, I can do Star TLS, and please don't log in because this would reveal your password in the clear text to the internet. So at this point already, you know that Star TLS is supported. So you send the Star TLS command, and the server says, I'm fine with that. And then both, this sounds really scary. And then both can do the TLS handshake. So client hello, server hello, key exchanges, finished message. And then we continue just as normal with the normal protocol, but encrypted now. So it's bold on the bottom. So this means it's encrypted. Okay. So this is the happy path. We have a plain text phase that is bad. And we have a TLS phase that is good because authenticated, encrypted, this is the good stuff. Then comes the little bit more realistic path, which is that not every server is nice to you or implements Star TLS or capabilities as you like it. So maybe you don't know just by looking at the greeting, so you need to ask for it. So if you want to implement Star TLS in a really defensive way, like to not issue the command if you're not allowed to, then you first have to ask for the capabilities, and then you get the capabilities, then you check the capabilities, and then you do the command. But some servers also do something like this. I saw this in the real world. They send you the greeting, and then the next message tells you the capabilities. So maybe if you want to be more performant, you also have to look if you see the second message already. But what happens here now is that you already expose quite a bit of the IMAP passing logic already to this. Like, you have, if you think from code surface, only these two messages, greeting and the response, expose almost your full parsing logic to the server at this point already. This will become important. And the sad path is that you should forget about anything of this, because this is non-authenticated, not authenticated code. This means you don't know if you are talking with an attacker. So the attacker can just strip these things to tell you the server doesn't do Star TLS, and in the worst case, you will continue with plain text, which is its normal Star TLS stripping attack. It can say in the last message, oh, well, no, I cannot do it. It can even here tell you, oh, well, you have gazillions of new messages. It can tell you here there was a new folder created. So you might think about what clients would process this, but it's really not obvious that you should not do it. So for example, here was a case in Thunderbird that you can just create messages like folders really before start TLS in a completely different state. You can send alerts already. There are some very helpful clients like Outlook. They will show it to you and saying it's with really high importance. So you can imagine if you just send as an attacker an alert message that says you should do an Outlook update, you will get this message, and maybe it's very convincing to do it. And then there can be a situation like this here, which is kind of now it gets really confusing, like what should this mean? Like, is this now TLS data or not? What should I do with it? So things come here that are not really clear. And we did a paper on it a few years ago, and the black circles are bad. So and as you can see from, like, I think it was almost 30 clients that we tested, in all of them but two, it's bad that Catty is not here, the K9 Thunderbird guy, because this was almost the only client that had no issues. So there were, from 30 clients, only two had no start TLS issues. So, and you can see, so it's really a systemic problem. But you can look up the details in this paper. Okay, so now my line of thought was, the data before TLS cannot be trusted. This means the data before TLS needs to be ignored to avoid these attacks that I showed to you. Which means the data before TLS, maybe, if we take this seriously, doesn't have to be parsed at all, because why are we already exposing our parsers to untrusted data? Which means, for me, start TLS is basically just a prefix that I want to skip as fast as possible to get to this good TLS encrypted phase. Doesn't matter how, just skip it in a good way. So the idea is now, let's consider we are only implementing plain text, like no encryption at all. We do some TCP connection, this is like Rust pseudocode. We do a TCP connection, and then we move this connection to some client that then does IMAP. This works. If this would be an implicit TLS connection, which means like directly doing TLS on port 993, for example, then we have an extra step. We first do TCP, then we shovel the TCP stream wrapper, and then we shovel the TLS wrapper into our client, which is not aware that TLS was even used. So this one extra line. And what I want to propose is that for start TLS, we also have just one extra line, which is this do start TLS prefix. So we connect on 143, which is the start TLS port, the plaintext port. Then we do prefix code, just one function, no context, no status, nothing, just one function. And then we continue as if it would have been a secure connection, like just give it to the TLS layer. And now we can discuss how this start TLS prefix function can look like with as little code as possible. We first need to skip the greeting. And the good thing about command, and as you may notice, we don't care what the server sent us because we don't trust the server anyway. We just send the start TLS command. And then, okay, so this is the start TLS. And then you may wonder, I said first comes the greeting and then comes start TLS, and you may notice we have these three gibberish lines in there. So what happened with that? I think you should think about IMAP as having two separate connections. You have the client stream and the server stream, and you need to sort them, and they should still make sense. So how you should think about this really is that we read the greeting, then we let the rest be as it is. So the state that we are in is actually that we then can send the start TLS command. And now we can try to care what happens with the rest of the data. And the task for us is now to just try to skip it as fast as we can, or as easily as we can. And we can do it easily because we can just, when we look here, we have it in our hand what the tag was for our start TLS command, and we used the S tag. So what we can do is just we read lines, as many lines as we need, and when one line starts with S and white space, this is the end of the start TLS command. So this is the code that we could use for that. Okay, so basically this skips all this block. And then comes this trailing data thing. In our paper, we called it a buffering class of attacks. You can do command injections and response injections with it. But this trailing data, I would propose just forget it. If we do nothing about it, it will be interpreted as TLS data, and the TLS handshake will crash. Let us just crash the TLS handshake. There's no problem in doing so. So we ignore it and just doesn't handle this case. And why does it work? So this works because we just proceeded with the connection to a point where TLS would be made. So this is the second line. And if this is the point, we can just assume that we have a fresh implicit TLS connection and just proceed as we did before. So this is the point. There's one caveat, though, because if we look on the differences of a star TLS connection and an implicit TLS connection, what you will notice in the star TLS case, the server sends us the greeting, but after the TLS handshake, there is no second greeting. So this means when we strip all this prefix, we need here to be a bit more careful because this greeting will not happen here. So when we do stripping, we have to say our client that it doesn't need to await the greeting anymore. So this is the one thing that I think is needed somehow, to tell the client that it should not await the greeting because it will not come. Yeah. And when we look on this table again, you can. This is why I choose IMAP to explain this procedure, because I think it's the protocol where most people are doing mistakes, because in IMAP you have to handle responses at any time. It's very complicated. So these are the clusters that you see. And for example, in this tampering attack, it's mostly IMAP related, and negotiation was also full of errors in IMAP. But there are some other clusters, for example, with buffering. And this we will avoid too. But just to make it complete, the ideas that I tell you, you can apply them to submission, POP3, LDAP, XMPP, even HTTP, and as Michiel told me, DNS, star TLS and DNS was a thing.
Yeah, but I didn't do it.
So star TLS is kind of everywhere, but you can apply the ideas also to other protocols. So for here, for example, in submission, you will need to know the server sends you a greeting. This greeting is multi-line, but you can just read the lines as soon as you get the 220 and then whitespace and just strip it. Then, sadly, by the standard, you are required to do the ELO before start TLS, if you like it or not. So if you try out some popular servers, you will see that you cannot do start TLS directly. You have to do the ELO. So, yeah, it's a bit sad, but you need to do it. But the skipping is basically the same. And in submission, it's simpler than in IMAP. And then comes POP3. And in POP3, it's really simple. You just read a line, write a line, read a line, and then you do TLS. So this is the POP3 case. Okay. And now I'm happy to get some questions, because I left some things out by intent, and I'm happy if someone spots them. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I think you was first. Yeah.
So I was just wondering that I noticed that you do a very, very simple route here, but maybe a slightly less simple route where you would have a pre-login parser that can only understand stuff that you want to understand pre-login, and then you would use that to parse the data, so you would be able to do slightly more like pre-parsing reading and everything that you might need in the next phase. And if the server sends you something that you think you shouldn't understand, you could already disconnect, because then it's an evil server anyway and you don't need to talk to it.
Okay, so your suggestion was basically to use a subset of this full-fledged parsing routines to just get some meaningful information or important information from this prefix phase. I would say why. Because you cannot trust anything of them. And I would even say, don't make it so simple for an attacker to strip your connection. If the attacker can just do a bit flip and say star TLS no, or just strip the star TLS capability, don't listen to them. Do your thing and let them really break your connection. Let them work for it. So don't let it be so simple. Yeah, I think you were second.
Why don't you just use IMAP-S?
Yes. Yes, so avoid star TLS.
Are there many IMAP servers that don't support IMAP-S?
I hope not. So I try to. So in my software, I have it feature gated. So you need to enable start TLS with a compile flag because I want to nudge our whole community to not use it at all. But it will happen if you have a project that is a bit more popular. There will be this university that has an administrator that didn't configure implicit TLS for IMAP. And what do you do? I mean, this is why I say you can then ask your the ones who file the issue to you. You can ask them, like, why do you need it? Can you please ask your service provider maybe to enable implicit TLS? But if they say no, if this is someone unreasonable, what do you do? So you cannot let your users hanging. So this presentation is, if you really, really, really need to do start TLS, try to avoid as much of it and just do the minimum amount to use it. But try to avoid it whenever you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question was it? Not sure I can repeat the question even. So the proposal was that that we nudge users and disallow specific commands if start TLS was not made. Yes. Right? Okay. Sure. So this thing is there. So if you on the beginning there was this login disabled thing somewhere that I showed in this happy path. Yeah, this thing, for example, login disabled. This is an attempt to do it because when this capability is present, it tells you you must not log in, and when you try to log in, you will get an error. And
don't even try to log in, even if it doesn't, even if it says log in, don't even try.
Yes, yeah, should not do it, so, yes. But then why do we want to keep start TLS then? So just don't use start TLS then, because I'm not sure I get the point. Yeah, but maybe you can come after to me and then we can discuss it. Okay. Did someone spot things that can go wrong with a B9 server maybe? So are you convinced that this is a good idea? Maybe asking, where's Arndt? Don't know where he is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what will happen is the assumption is always that you don't listen to the server, and the TLS handshake will always fail. So if for some case, like here, if this no response would be a benign response, like the server just for some really good reason cannot do start TLS right now, if this would be a benign response, what would happen in this case is that you still try to do start TLS because you would assume that the server told you it's okay. You will send your client hello, and then you will get an IMAP message back that tells you bad, and the handshake and the TLS handshake will totally fail because the parsers will fail, the handshake will fail, etc. So. But this is a good point that you say, because one downside of this solution is that you might get weird errors, because now instead of saying the server didn't support start TLS, the error message would be TLS handshake failed. So the thing that you also have to keep in mind is that you report some generic start TLS failed error in any of these cases. So you do your thing, but in any of these cases, you just ignore it and say start TLS failed for some reason, and maybe then you have a debug log to see what really happened, like for these users that can do it. Yeah.
About the greeting, if you don't trust the greeting at all, the greeting contains legit important information, like the layout information, and you just remove it, and you now enter to the TLS handshake, and you now pass the connection to the connection address. But the connection is authorization is already in the authenticated state, but the client thinks that it's still in the initiating state.
Yes.
So your client would not work at all.
This was one of the caveats. Congratulations. So there is one case with the pre-auth, where was it? Here. So what a server can do, it can tell you, in the greeting, you don't have to authenticate because you're already authenticated. This can be can make sense if, for example, you're connecting to IMAP via SSH or something, or locally just to manage your server. But when we did this research, this pre-auth thing was a very common attack that was where we were able to do a start TLS stripping attack. Because when you look in the standard, it says that the start TLS command is not allowed in the authenticated state. So when the server says pre-auth and the client says, I want to do start TLS, you have a conflict. There's actually an ambiguity in the standard, and this thing doesn't work together. So pre-auth always excludes start TLS, which is why I think that pre-auth must be an extra configuration in your client. You must say, I know that this connection is pre-authenticated, don't do like start TLS or any encryption. I think this is the only way, because otherwise you don't know. It's a weird state to be in, like wanting to do start TLS but not being able to because pre-auth forbids it to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
TLS for a certain connection, and if it gets to pre-out, then it doesn't match with the required TLS configuration.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this would be one way to do it. So you can decide, like, this is a suggestion. You can do, when you feel like it, you can do slight parsing of it. Just be aware, this is all lowercase. The casing is important. You cannot just do, like, if starts with pre-out, so you have to lowercase it first and then pre-out. You can do a bit of passing to make better error messages. But I would still say if you put in the configuration, I want to do start TLS, for example, then it must not be pre-auth, but let it crash, and then you will figure out, because there will be some configuration issue, and it's start TLS related, so I think maybe a generic message would be still enough. Yeah.
When you configure an email client, if you configure an account, you can also say no TLS or start TLS or mm-hmm. TLS.
Yeah, so when I showed this table, it depends. Yes. So a lot of, like, not a lot, but I think there was a shift in this start TLS opportunistic encryption community. Like in past times, we thought that start TLS would be opportunistic, like just do it when it's available. But this is a thing of the past since, I don't know, 10 years or so. I verified some software. I downloaded the software from 10 years ago, and even then it was enforced. But still, some clients, I think two or three of them, were just like, oh, I cannot do start TLS. Okay, they're not. And then they just put the password in plain text. So, yeah, depending on the client. Some cloud mail providers still did it too. So it's a thing that keeps reappearing over time somehow. Yes, you can look up in the paper. Yeah. There's a table and it tells you. Sylphid was one of them, but I think it's not maintained anymore. So at least it seems that the issue tracker was taken over by bots selling you stuff. So it looks not maintained anymore, but this was one of them. But there were, I think, two others that had similar issues. And the cloud mail providers, yeah. Yes?
Would your advice to server implementers be to disable Spark TLS by default and all the
Yes. Yes. I mean, there can be situations. I also experienced one where there was some user filed an issue, and this user said they cannot connect to their provider anymore. And the reason why this happened is because MUT made implicit TLS the standard. And now I need to think how it was. And how this issue was resolved is that some flag was changed that made it optional. And when I looked into the connection in detail, what I saw is that the provider had a corporate proxy that stripped out the start TLS prefix. So what this fix actually did in MUT was to allow an attack on this user because it allowed the downgrade attack. And this was one thing. And I know also, like, I don't know which presentation it was. I think in Anne's presentation about start TLS stripping in the countries, or was it?
That was not mine. Oh. But yes, it happened. Somebody used a certificate to launch a giant man-in-the-middle attack in 2017 in Thailand.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay, right, yes. Because there are also papers, and there was a group, I think this paper was called Nivan neither snow nor rain nor man in the middle. And they did some calculations, and there were some countries where 90% of star TLS connections were stripped. And this is like a fact, like they did the measurement. This was, you can say it was a wrongly configured router or something, but they just stripped these connections. And yes. Not sure it was Cisco, but don't know. Yeah, so I would say you should not use it on the server, but depends on your special use case. If there's a corporate firewall and doesn't allow other ports, could be different, but yes, this is the thing we should aim for. Yeah. Okay. The thing I skipped a bit was this S thingy, because if you've implemented IMAP, you know maybe that there is a thing called literals, and literals can contain multiple lines. And if you are really, really bad, have bad luck, the server can send you a message that have a literal, and by chance some friend of you sent you a message that contains S white space in the mail body, and then you will get false results in this. But my reasoning not to handle it specifically is that no sane server should send this stuff before TLS. So this is already something that is super broken. And if you still want to be very secure for this case that should not happen, you can just use a random tag. So we can just generate like 8 bytes of random and then just listen for the 8 bytes of random until they are reflected, and then you will also, like, just as an argument, I would not even do this, but because I think it would be a broken server. But if you want to be really secure, you can do it with a canary reflection or token reflection, and then you make it really solid. Yeah. Okay. Yes.